Today, our sermon is entitled Winter, Spring, Summer, or Fall, God Knows the Seasons of Our Life. And there used to be a pop song out there when I was a kid, Winter, Spring, Summer, or Fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there in the morning. And I thought about that because, you know, we've been listening to the birds bringing to us turn, 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 and it just kind of took me back to that era, you know what I mean? Because as I think about life, the life that we all live definitely is filled with seasons. Can I get an amen on that? But in the seasons of our lives, we definitely need somebody to be there with us. It's funny because in the springtime, we're okay. In the summertime, we're cool. In the fall, we get a little edgy. But come winter, we want to know there's somebody there, don't we? But we need God there in the spring to make sure that we're planting the right seeds. We need Him there in the summer to make sure the rains come. We need Him there in the fall so that we can bless Him as we bring in that harvest. And we most certainly need Him in the winter when things seem their most drear. You see, we've got a friend. And yes, He'll be there. Yes, He'll be there. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there. And sometimes we forget to make that call, don't we? Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Or Ephesians, yeah. Ecclesiastes. Started with an E. Ecclesiastes, Old Testament stuff here. Ecclesiastes, number 3. It's where we started last week. It's where we're going to start this week because it all comes from God in this recourse. And I want us to remember these few words, and then we're going to turn on. It's just verse 1. It's all we're going to do is verse 1. Ecclesiastes, verse 1. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. Now, at the time of the writing of Ecclesiastes, we need to remember that many generations had gone by. Solomon was writing Ecclesiastes, and Solomon here is the next generation after David, the promised one who was to come and from whom we know the Messiah would come. So here we are, we're now after David, and we understand that the Messiah is going to come from his lineage. And this first son of David writes to us and says that there is a time for every season, there's a time for every purpose, there's a time for every event in heaven and in earth. Is that the first time that God spoke that reality? You know, did God wait thousands of years for that thought to come into being? Well, it actually says in the scripture that there's nothing new under the sun. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 8. To Genesis chapter 8. Because I want us to see that God has a promise for us. God has a promise in life that each of us needs to understand when it comes to the culmination of the seasons and what they are and why they're here and how God uses them. From verse 22, God here is speaking and He says to Himself, this is after the flood of Noah, all right? This is directly after the flood of Noah. It says in verse 20, read with me, because this is, I want you to get this picture in your head of what's happening here. All right? God had just destroyed all mankind. Everything on the face of the earth was gone, except what He saved through the ark. And He says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord And he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This was the first offering given up to God after the earth had been cleansed, completely cleansed. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, hear these words. This is God speaking to God, not us. He is giving himself a covenant. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Thus saith the Lord. And he gives us the reality of life from that very covenant. Because in that word, he is telling us there will be springtime, there will be summer, there will be fall, and there will be winter. And as long as man persevereth, it shall never end. Wow, we read those words and we don't get that out of it, do we? But that's what God's given us. By his grace and by his covenant with himself, that's why he sent Christ. And you and I live in that grace. You and I live in that covenant. You and I live understanding and knowing that God has placed seasons in our life for our benefit. Yes, those seasons bring forth the food that we all need. Amen. How many of you eat every day? How many of you eat more than once a day? It's amazing to me because when we think about it, there are people out there who have not. In this very world that we live in that is so filled with plenty, they have nothing. Why? Because for a lot of these people, they may not be where we are in the season of life that we are in. You know, we think of seasons as being, you know, the times of a year. You know, every year, you know, from December to March, that's winter, right? That's winter. And then come March into June, that's springtime. And then from May, it is June? Okay. See, I thought I was right. Don't ever second guess yourself when the Holy Spirit's telling you something. Get yourself out of the way, dude. Then we have summertime. And then we have fall. And we need to get outside of that reality and think about our lives in such measures. Because is there a winter to our lives? We all know that there's a winter. How many of you know there's more than one winter? I know I'm in winter because there's snow on the rooftop. Okay? But that's only one form of winter, isn't it? There are other forms of winter in our lives. There are spiritual winters. Okay? There are social winters. There are economical winters, okay? And it's the same way with the spring and the summer and the fall. And each of these things has a plan and a purpose. Each of these events, each of these seasons has something that needs to be done. And I think it's amazing because God tells us what needs to be done with them. Because in the springtime, what do you do? Do you harvest crops in the springtime? No. In the springtime, you plant seeds. In the springtime, that's when you work, okay? Now, you know, for you young people out there, you're in the springtime of your life. So you don't, it so amazes me because we've got you young people so confused. You think that this is, you know, you're in the springtime of your life and it's supposed to be fall. In other words, we're supposed to be harvesting it all. Well, you ain't planted nothing yet. Your parents have, and what you're reaping is from their planting, amen? So go plant your own fields. But then you got to do something. Summer has to come. And what do we do during late spring and early summer? We weed. Yeah, I heard it. You get the hoe out and you start breaking your back That's what makes the white hair on the roof. And this is life. This is where we find ourselves. But this is also where we find God, because God wants to know, what seeds are you going to plant in your springtime? Are you going to plant seeds of holiness, of righteousness? Or are you going to plant seeds of greed and of lust? Because that's what our world wants you to plant. Because those things turn into monsters and devour you. But God wants us to plant righteousness. God wants us to plant the seeds of holiness in our lives. And that only happens as we turn our lives to Him. That only happens as we open our lives to Him who is the reality of life itself. Because from Him, He says in His Word that He will give us seeds to plant. In fact, He will plant in fields that He doesn't even own. And He expects to find a harvest there too. Because right now, the evil one owns a bunch of fields out there. And each of you is a field, by the way. And the evil one owns a bunch of fields out there. But God wants us, His children, to sow seeds into those fields. And He'll bring the summertime for them. And then He'll bring along another harvester in the fall to harvest that up before winter comes in their lives. And by that winter, I mean the winter of death and separation. But you see, if that person does truly receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll go into a winter too, because they need to die of self, right, Mitch? And when they begin to die of self, then all of a sudden there's a new springtime coming. Because as long as man endureth, it will not stop. Turn, 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 turn. Oh, my heavens, is this thing preachable? And you and I are a part of that in every season. We are a part of that, whether it's happening to us or God's using us to make it happen. Because we're in God's time, and He knows where we are, and He knows how He wants to apportion us. You know, it so amazes me because, you know, I have tools in my work shed. I have tools in my garage. And when I want a shovel, I don't go pick up a screwdriver. I used to pick up a wrench when I wanted a hammer. But I busted a couple of wrenches, and I determined they're not supposed to be used that way. And we need to remember that too. God doesn't want us being used in a manner that we're not equipped to do. He wants us to let Him use us the way He wants to use us in the times and periods of our lives, the way He wants to direct us. Because I'm going to guarantee you right now, God can take a wrench and turn it into a hammer if He needs to. Because He's the one who owns the forge. But then that means we're going to go through some seasons ourselves, doesn't it, folks? And sometimes it's going through those seasons that God teaches us the greatest things of life. It's where He gets us to change. It's where He gets us to see things from His perspective, from a perspective that's not all about self and self-motivations, but it's about a holy God who wants to teach us about others, about eternal things. Because, folks, we are being prepared. We are a field too. And we are being prepared for an eternal harvest. Because the time will come when we get onto eternity and we are made whole. And in that day, we will be as God is. And that's His word. Amen? Can I get an hallelujah on that one? Because, man, in that day, we will be right there with the gardener. And we will be exactly what He wants us to be. And we'll be able to do what He wants us to do, no matter what it is. And the awesome thing is, we'll do it without complaining. How many of you have ever been there in your life? We need every season in our lives, too. You know I would love to stay in spring, go into summer for a little while, because it gets hot. You know, that's one thing I like about summer. You know, we don't think about how these things truly show us, because during the summer, that's when things transform. Do you ever notice that? Because if God's going to produce something in your life, He's got to turn up the heat a little bit, doesn't He? Because I have never seen plants grow in a cold house. They grow in a hot house, exactly. So God's got to turn the heat up a little bit. And the awesome thing is, when He turns that heat up, that plant begins to change. And all of a sudden it begins to throw flowers. And that attracts bees or bugs or whatever happens to pollinate it, and they pollinate it, because that's another portion of being in the seasons, you know, because sometimes God's going to use us as pollinators. Sometimes God's going to put situations into our lives that are going to pollinate us unto something else. They're going to give us a little bit of seed itself. Even though we're already growing in God, He's got to bring forth fruit. And to bring forth that fruit, He needs to add a little bit something into our lives to make that happen. And when He does, all of a sudden this thing begins to produce a fruit. And then we want to jump right from there because, okay, Lord, we're going to go right from there. Okay, I see the tomatoes are coming on. Now I want them ripe. Right? I want them now. It takes time. And we've got to go through that whole season before we get to fall. And then once we get to fall, then we can reap the harvest. But you see, there's a problem with fall, because we know once the harvest has been reaped, what's coming? Winter. Yeah, snow. I like that, Mitch. That's I like that. Snow. Turn to James. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to read through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, the seasons of our life are there so that we may grow into God-likeness as He intends for us to grow. I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be times and seasons in your life that you and I may not understand what God has planned, but the question is, do we trust Him to know what our future holds and who or what we are to become? Because how we respond to the seasons that we are in, how we endure these endurances, these trials, these pressures that come into our lives, make all the difference in who we are becoming and who we are yet to become. And God is going to use the people that are around you even now to challenge you and to help you. And that's why we're called a community. Okay? Does a community have everything in common? Absolutely not. Your body is a community. Does your toe look like your nose? If it does, I'm sorry. We do not. The one thing we have in common is the bond that keeps us as a unit, and the blood that flows through us to give us life. Who is that bond? Who is that blood? Jesus Christ, His Lord, our Lord. And when we are unified in such a way, God can use the toe, and God can use the nose. I think it's funny because I always thought your toes just get in the way. There's something you knock into corners and chairs when you're trying to walk through the house at night to go to the bathroom while all the lights are out, right? That's all toes are good for. Lose your toes and find out how easy it is to walk. You don't understand how important the little unseen things are until you don't have them. Talk to a person who's had diabetes and has had to have an amputation of their toes. They got to learn to walk all over again because your toes literally balance you. Everything that we are rests on those 2 feet. And if they're not right, if they're not whole, it throws the whole being off. So if we in our community life are not right, it throws off everything. And God knows where we are, and He knows that we need that cold death of winter in our lives. Do you know why it's so important to have, especially in our area here, to have a cold, 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 freezing winter? Because whether you know it or not, we live in an area that if the temperatures don't reach a certain degree, the seeds that are dropped by the trees and plants will not germinate come spring. They will simply rot and die. They have got to be frozen to change the cells in that seed. I'm looking at my school teacher here to make sure I'm staying on track. Okay. They need that cold to change the cells within that seed so that when warmth comes, all of a sudden now life bursts forth. But if it doesn't get cold enough to make that seed freeze and break those cells, how many of us need to be cold and broken? That when the warmth of God's love finally hits us, now we're ready to go. Now we're ready to become that thing because we've been cold, we've been dead, we've been frozen, and we've been broken. And then the Lord says, now, life I give you. My warmth I give you. My light I give you. My hope I give you. And then we burst forth. You know, one of the greatest struggles is coming out of the ground. One of the greatest struggles for a plant is coming out of the ground. Because what happens if there's a rock over top of that seed? You see, that's why God also needs springtime. Because in the springtime, those who are the gardeners prepare the soil. And what's one of the things that gardeners do? It's actually in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for gathering stones. Why do we gather the stones? You know, we live in agricultural land. If you go down 72 here, I know we've all done it. If you go down 72 towards Clinton and you look off to the right-hand side, you'll see a fence row there with big piles of stones. It's right outside of town. There's a little stone building there. It looks like it might have been a spring house or something at one time, just outside of town. And then there's a fence row back here, and it's got a pile of stones this high. And probably, 15 feet wide, and it goes down that fence row. Where do you think those stones came from? God put them there, right? No. God put them in the field. The farmer had to move them so that he could create a usable field to grow the seeds that he was going to plant. And sometimes God's going to use you and I as rock movers in people's lives so that that seed can take root in good soil and spring forth from the ground without so much trial, because it's hard enough for that seed to germinate. And He wants us there to help each other along the way. And He'll put situations into our lives. God will put situations into our lives where He says, okay, I'm going to plant you next to this rock, and you got to work your way around it to get out of the ground. Have you ever been in one of those situations before? You know, I sometimes feel like, how many of you have ever driven down the road and you look up and there's a rock cliff and there's a tree coming out of the rocks? How many of you have ever felt like that tree represents your life? You know, struggling to hang on there. You know, I don't have much of a root hold here because it's all rocks, but I've learned to put those roots into every crack and crevice I can get myself into. Because you know what that tree's going to actually do to that rock to that mountain, it's going to break it down. That tree is going to break the rock down. And that rock will eventually crack, bust open. Now, unfortunately, that means the tree's going to fall. But praise God, when we fall from life, He receives us into glory. Amen. That's the last winter. And then the first spring of eternity. We need to persevere until that very time. We need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that is in our lives, and that His love compels us to be content. Ooh, there's a word for you. How many people in America like the word content? We are a society of throw it away. Because I'm not happy with it, I'm going to throw it away. And I'm going to go get another one. Because it's easier to go get another one than it is to work on this thing that I have. I was reading the fish wrapper the other day, and I just started to laugh because it said, "Blessed is the man who understands that his wife backed into the garage door that's 12 feet wide when he tries to thread a needle." Okay? In other words, you know, guys, we all understand if there are things we would love our wives to do, we need to forgive the little things that really don't mean anything, even if it was a car into a garage, because there are things in life we really don't want to be doing, like sewing and that kind of stuff. Praise God, we have wives who are willing to do those things. But we need to be willing to what? Forgive and oversee and overlook and say, hey, these things don't matter because they're just things. It's the character of the person. It's what we love about them. It is the way they love us and how we interact with each other. Those are what is important. Those are the true things that pass on into glory, into eternity. Because those are the things that God is producing in us. That's the real fruit. You know, so many in our world believe that the fruit sits in front of my house and it's called a Lamborghini. Or it is my house in the Caymans. Or it is my bank account in Morocco. Like I got one of them, right? But it's not. Many times the fruit of your life is the very person sitting next to you. Or the person God wants sitting next to you. And it may not be for eternity, but it may be for a season. Because then He's got somebody else He wants to work on that field. And we need to understand that God has a way, because God's timing for what we are and what we have is not by chance, but it's by design. You know, it would be horrible if winter came between summer and fall. Because if it was summer and then winter, it would freeze our crops and kill them, wouldn't it? There'd be no harvest. But sometimes we get things out of whack. We try to put, as Brother Charles just explained to us here a little earlier today, we try to put the cart before the horse. There is an order to things. And sometimes we as human beings, we get them out of order because it's the way we want to do them, or because, you know, things came up, circumstances have happened, and the next thing you know, we're doing things backwards, sideways, upside down. And we're wondering why we're struggling so much. You know, one of the things I tell my youth, and I've told you young people this that are here now, get your education. Don't get paid for what you can do. Get paid for what you know. Because if you get paid for what you do, you're going to get old quick. You're going to be broken. How many adults out there understand what I'm talking about? Because you are going to work hard. And I was always taught, my great-grandfather taught me, work smarter, not harder. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I went and got my college education at the age of 37. Boy, that was easy. I had a family, I had a job, I had a son, you know, all this stuff going on, and I had to go back to school. Do you know how difficult that was? It was difficult for them because it meant me not being around. It was difficult because it meant selling the farm, that which I had built. It meant getting rid of the job, that which had sustained us. So there is a natural progression. If we get things out of whack, it costs us something. God may allow it to happen in our lives, but it will cost us to get that goal. So it's better to do it in season as it is meant to be, as God has planned it. But Pastor, I always want to be in God's will. Good, then put Him first, not yourself. Amen. And we also need to remember that as Christians, and we are in this life together, we just heard today Franklin Graham speaking about getting out there, becoming Christians, being that voice. We have taken such a back seat that you want to know how hard it is affecting us? Look at our nation. It is no longer popular to be a Christian. In fact, we are one of the most oppressed groups in the United States at current rates. Okay? We are not allowed to express ourselves. They are trying to take God out of every community sphere, every societal sphere that the government has any influence into. And I hate to tell you this, but that's everything. Miss Faye, am I wrong? How much influence? You're my senior. You're my elder. All right? How much influence have you seen in your lifetime from where you were a child to where you are now? Where would you say the level of government intrusion is? Places where it never touched, right? Now all of a sudden, it's in your home. How dare you raise your children in a Christian manner because you're going to school them at home? Do you realize there are people right now in the United States who are being persecuted because they are homeschooling their children to know and understand God? That's truth. I can't make this stuff up. It's too fantastical. There are literally people right now who have had their children taken from them in the state of Utah because they were teaching their children evangelical Christendom, and the county commissioners said, ain't happening. We need to understand that God wants us to know that He's right there. Now, are we going to agree with everything that God does in our lives? How many of us like discipline? Okay? I don't think there's an adult in this room that likes discipline. Let me ask my teenagers. How many of you like discipline? Charles, do you like being disciplined? But your dad expects you to take it, doesn't he? Now, ask your dad. Dad, do you like it when God disciplines you? And it's so amazing because we forget as adults. And we think we're grown up and we should not be disciplined anymore. Who are you to tell me that something's wrong in my life? Excuse me, talk to Dad. Okay? And that's one of the things that, as a pastor, that I deal with. Because people will literally say to me, well, you preached that sermon on blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, I'm offended. Cool. Take it up with the man who wrote the book, not me. You got a problem with what he has to say? Don't get mad at me. Don't hold your money from the church because I'm not making you feel all gushy and comfortable and wonderful. Because all you're doing is telling God, I don't believe you, I don't love you, I don't want you, I'm going to forsake you. And what happens along those lines? It's not good, is it? And we find ourselves in a place where we find ourselves today. Because a lot of the people who call themselves the church have walked away from God's truth because they don't want to stand under it. And guess what happens to the men and women who, as myself, have been called to preach the truth? What begins to happen to them? because they are driven by these four little baskets. Because this becomes their God, not God becoming their God. They close this and put it away. And then they begin to speak nonsense. Then they begin to speak confusion, where on one turn they're saying this, and on the next turn they're saying the exact opposite thing. And people are so confused, but they're okay with that because I walk out of here feeling good about who I am, where I am, and everything's okay, and everybody's going to heaven, and God loves us all. Folks, I wish it were that easy. I wish I could say that when we begin to walk with God, when we begin to allow God to have the seasons of our lives, that everything's going to go wonderful. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you and I are willing and wanting to experience the abundance of life that God has promised us, we will have times where we will shake our fist at God and we will wrestle with Him. Gee, guys, I think we were talking about that today, weren't we? And we are going to say, but why? How come? What do you want from me? And then we're going to stay in the ring, and we're going to wrestle it through. Not leaving, but working it out with Him until He shows us what He wants to show us, until He reveals to us the light of His glory, which changes us and begins to produce in us the fruit of every foundation that He has already laid. The seeds are in there, they're dormant, they are waiting because they're in the coldness of winter and they are being changed and they're developing that desire for that warmth of sun to come. But sometimes that sun can't come because the attitude of our minds are wrong. And God says, I'm not taking that seed out of the ground, but I'm going to prepare the ground to receive the warmth of my love. And that may mean taking some things from you or inflicting some things upon you, or not actually inflicting them, but allowing them to happen, because sin is in our world. How many of us face it every day? How many of us face other people's sin because it has a result on us? Welcome to the election. Welcome to my reality. Because today I'm going to share a very real reality with all of you. Many of you already know it. Some have no idea what's coming. The pastor's here to tell you it is winter time. And I don't know when spring's going to come. I have no idea what's going to happen. This year we are over $4,500 back. Is that pretty close, Miss Virginia? We don't have any expenses as a church. Our expenses are very nominal. We don't do a whole lot of extravagant things. All the funds do come in for missions. Missions is funded well. It's doing great. And we're not over in any manner. But what is happening is the fact that I am your greatest expense. My health insurance, my retirement, my salary package is almost 85%, somewhere around there, of our pull. And we are running short because people haven't been here. I have to be honest, over the summer we were sparse. We were down there, there were Sundays we had 28 people in church. We aren't seeing an influx of new people because we're not actively engaging our society the way we should be engaging. There's all kinds of things that I could point out, but the bottom line is I can't do anything about that. But I love this church, and I am your key administrator, and I know how to administer. And Miss Faye knows where I'm going if she's thinking about it. Because what's going to happen is, in February, at the annual meeting, there will be a proposition raised if we continue in this direction, if things keep going the way they're going. where pastor is going to step down from full-time ministry to part-time ministry, and I will have to take a full-time job to pay my salary, to pay my benefits, and to keep things going. That way, I'm not affecting the church, because the church is in a winter time. But that's also going to mean that you don't get me, because I will have other commitments to another employer. That's going to mean that you are going to have to step up to the plate. That's going to mean, because this isn't God's will, okay? It's going to cost us something. Because that's going to mean every person in here is going to have to do more, not less. How many of you already have 12 hats on your head? Because pastor won't be at the meetings to guide them. So that means you're going to be picking up the responsibilities to make sure that we are on target with where the church needs to go. I'm going to pick on some ministries. I love people, and please don't hear me saying anything bad. But we've been lacking in so many places, because this year is the first time that we really have no direction when it comes to our parade. We have no idea where we're going. That's because pastor's been stepping back. I have to, because I've got to begin preparing you people to pick up the slack. And it's not going to happen if I don't pull back. Miss Arlene is not here, the one who was constantly reminding us, Virginia, did you put a blurb in the bulletin about OCC? Wasn't one in there this year, was it? Because Miss Arlene wasn't here to remind you. I won't be here to do that. I won't be here to get your phone calls, pastor, I need to talk, because I'm going to be at work. I won't be at the various ministry meetings, because I'll have a full-time job. And we are going to suffer. We'll continue on, but we have to make choices. As an administrator, I'm making the tough choice. It's going to affect me and my family, but it's also going to affect me and my family. And I don't understand. And I don't like it. But by God, I trust Him. And by God, I'll walk through this. And by God, I'll do what He asked me to do. Because I love you all, and I want to see this church grow. We are at a time of decision in our nation and in our churches, where we are either going to stand up and become the church, truly become the church. Because God is at the place where He is literally, and I believe this with all my heart, separating the sheep from the goats. He is separating the wheat from the chaff. And He is allowing His people to determine, am I in Christ? Am I His child? Or am I simply going through the motions? Welcome to real life. Welcome to a time and a season that none of us really ever wanted to be in, but we find ourselves here. And it's not the first time, because if you look at the scriptures, you will find that even Moses, when he brought the people out of Egypt, had their winter, and it lasted 40 years. I don't want this one to last 40 years, folks. I'm too old. I won't be around to the end of it. And neither will many of you. So let's get this thing done. Let's be, as Franklin Graham said, sold out. Let us pray, not only for our nation, but for our church. Let us commit ourselves to get involved, not only in our nation, but in our church and in the lives of our community, not only in a political manner, but in a manner that allows people to see who we are and what we are and what we're about. Do you know we're one of the best-kept secrets in Lebanon County? I still, to this day, talk to people, and they'll say to me, where does your church meet? And I'll hand them one of my cards. And they'll say, oh, you're at the Ebenezer School. I didn't know there was a church meeting there. We've been here now for 3.5 years, and people don't even know we're here. I don't know if we need to fly an airplane over the county or what, you know, with one of those big tails on it. But somehow we got to get the word out that we're here and that we hold fast to the word of God and that there is nothing other but the word of God and the life of God happening in this church. Now, we're not going to be everybody's cup of tea because we do a little bit of traditional, we do a little bit of contemporary. Because I'll tell you right now, when they see a place meeting in a church or meeting in a school like this, they expect a praise and worship band. So they come in the door and they get some videos and hymnology. They're going to be like, what's this? Well, come and grow with us. We don't have enough people to do all the stuff, so we do what we can do and we do it well. Amen? And we allow God to change the seasons of our life. Amen? And we find ourselves working in that season to the betterment of everything that Christ wants us to become. Amen? Last thing I want to leave you with is God's Word, because it's got to be built on His Word and not mine. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews in the 10th chapter. You know, I don't know whether you folks know this or not. Many of you probably do. Hebrews is actually, you know, we all have life verses, okay? And most of you know mine's Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. Okay? And that's just, God gave me that years ago when He first put me into ministry, because He knows the days of my life. He knows the plans He has for me to give me a hope and a future, not to harm me. And I love Him for that. But it's so funny, because as I went through school and as I became a minister, guess what became my book? My book for life and ministry. And it's so amazing, because this whole book preaches about our one Savior, that we have one high priest, and it's all about Him, and it's the book of Hebrews. Man, when I read the book of Hebrews, God speaks loud, and He speaks clear directives. So from the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, look at verses 36 and 37. In fact, go back to 35. I want to catch 35 in there, because this is a word. I want to leave you with this word. I want you to leave. I want to leave you with a sense of hope, because I'm not looking at this in despair. I don't like where I am. I don't like what I'm going to have to do, but I have to make an administrative decision. Miss Faye, how many times have you made administrative decisions that you didn't like, but you knew you had to do them, right? Amen. There are times you just got to buck up and bite the bullet. Amen. And here's what he says. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure with him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should not be afraid of these things. Yes, it's going to cost us something. And together we will pay that price, because we've not been doing the work that we've been asked to do. And God will not keep us going around this mountain. You know, we'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. No, He took them through to the mountain one time. And then He took them to the promised land and they said no. And He took them through the wilderness for 40 years. And then He brought them back and said, now, will you enter in? And their response was, yes, Lord, we will do as you have asked. For from this day forward, we choose the Lord. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. And the people crossed over. And we have that promise here, that if we persevere through this thing, yes, it's probably going to happen, because we cannot operate in a deficit. We don't have money to operate in a deficit. We've got a very little sliver of funds, and that sliver is just about used up. Amen, Miss Virginia? And we can't operate in a negative. So pastor's got to make the choice. And I'm the only choice that can be made. I've got to be cut back. So come February, we'll see where we are. But you all need to know, 9 chances out of 10, lest the hand of God, amen. Lest the work of the Lord, amen. lest the laborers become many, amen, and the harvest come in, amen. And that's what Franklin Graham was speaking about tomorrow. How many of you are going to be out there and vote? Raise your hand. What's that? Yeah, Tuesday. If you're voting tomorrow, it's the wrong day. You want to go Tuesday? Okay, you want to go Tuesday? Sorry about that. I can hear you all now saying, but Pastor told me to vote on Monday. No wonder he needs to go down to part-time. We need to understand we're going through a period here. And it's just a period. It's a season. And the day will turn. Amen? And aren't we glad God's in charge of the turning? For He returneth the sun to its path every day. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for who You are and how You love us and how You bring us through the things of this life into the life that is yet meant to be. So, Father God, as we open our lives to You, as we understand that there is winter, spring, summer, and fall, and You know every season, You know where we are and where we need to meet, Father, bless us to the full measure that, yes, we'll receive the disciplines that we need to receive, we'll receive the trials, we'll go through it all, and we'll go through it, Lord, trying to understand who You are making us to be and how You are asking us to become. But then, too, may we go out and be who we are meant to be in this world, raising the banner of Christ, being the light of hope in a darkened world. Thank You, Lord, for choosing sinners such as us. For it is by grace we have been saved, and it is by faith in Christ Jesus that we have believed. In His blessed name. And all God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.